Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Iowa Healthcare Association MCO call for February 10th, 2021. We're joined by our representatives from Iowa Total Care this morning. We'll go through this like we do every other week or every other month. I'm going to start by looking at some informational letters that have been released within the last 30 days or so. The first one is information letter 2208. It's on CARES Act spending. Deadline extended through June 30th, 2021. Many of you have likely seen this or heard about this already, but if you received CARES Act funding through the state in 2020 at all, that had a deadline of the end of December for you to spend those funds or show that you spent those funds. They have actually extended that deadline for spending of those funds through June 30th, 2021. So that was good news for providers, although I don't know that spending it was necessarily a difficult task for many because of a lot of the increased expenses that came with COVID and that are coming with COVID. So that's IL-2208. Information letter 2211 is an update for electronic visit verification. It's their January 2021 update. I'm thinking in this one, the main change was the inclusion of RCF or residential care facilities in that delay for billing of services and including them with the assisted livings who had the delay of billing through CareBridge until July 1st, 2021. I think that was the main update that I remember in that, but I'd encourage you to take a look. It's IL 2211 on EVV. There's another one in there, IL-2214. It's questions regarding the billing for COVID-19 vaccines and monoclonal antibodies. That the name of the letter pretty much explains it, is very in-depth. I would encourage your, if that is something that you're interested in doing, billing for not necessarily the vaccine, because that is free, but the administration of those services, it kind of explains how that is supposed to flow. IL-2216 is an extension of due dates of cost reports. I want to say it was for 60 additional days is how long that extension went into place for. But it gives out all the timelines. Basically, any cost reporting period not previously identified and ending on a date falling in the period of March 1st, 2020 through December 30th, 1st, 2020, providers are granted an additional 60 days from the initial due date to file their cost reports. So that is an update to an information letter from back in August. But again, that is IL-2216. So you can take a look at that. If that concerns you. That's pretty much the update for information letters. We can roll over to working with our managed care partners now. Jeannie, do you have any updates from Iowa Total Care? And before I hand it over, one note I'll maybe say is maybe you want to talk about the barrier removal fund if that's something you're familiar with.
Thanks, Brennan. I'll bring up my notes that I have on that. I know that we have an opportunity for folks to participate in the barrier fund. So give me just a second, really fun to bring up my notes that I have on that, and I will share. I hope everyone is staying warm in this lovely Iowa winter. It looks like we finally got socked in over the course of the last 2 years, we didn't really get hit much. So I was happy to see a little bit warmer weather coming down the pike. So I hope all of you are safe and sound. So the information that I have here, it's just coming up. So sorry, my system is a little
bit slow. Sorry, I didn't prep that beforehand.
You know what?
I made a note.
It's okay on the fly, you know? So the barrier relief fund. And I have such a hard time with that because I have so many other words that want to come to mind when I say this. So I have to be really careful when I say this. So the National Council on Independent Living was pleased to announce that the continuation of the Barrier Removal Fund is going to continue in 2021. Centene and the Independent Living NCIL, National Council on Independent Living, is pleased to participate in this particular collaboration to continue the Provider Accessibility Initiative in 2021. One of the three new states was Iowa, including Hawaii and Louisiana. The NCIL will coordinate competitive grants to support the removal of physical and problematic disability access barriers at participating provider group practices, clinics, service locations within the state health plans where members are seen. So we look forward to working with providers in removing those access barriers and improving access to care regarding the accessibility for members with disabilities and their companions in these states. So let me see what other information I have today. We do have information out on our website regarding the Barrier Removal Fund that, so I encourage folks to go out and look at that information on our website. I believe it's under our alerts. There is also a Provider Accessibility Initiative webpage that the National Council on Independent Living also has for questions and answers for you for that. If you have specific questions you'd like to know about this, please reach out to your provider relations specialist. All right, how'd I do, Brandon? Off the cuff.
Hey, that sounded good to me. Really, I mean, it sounds like it's like a way to remove barriers for people with disabilities, right? It's kind of the main impetus behind it. And it's a grant for providers to be able to access some of those funds, whether it's like adaptive equipment or maybe some type of scale type system or, I don't know, ramps maybe if you're having a hard, if you don't have that ability, which I don't know that that's necessarily a common one, but
Yeah, it depends, you know, where you're located and what is available, you know, what you may need. We also will be having folks reaching out to you. We're just starting this initiative to Brandon, where we're reaching out, asking providers to complete information regarding this. So you may be hearing from, if you haven't already, on the initial stages for to complete the questionnaire. Now the questionnaire is a little lengthy, it's 65 pages, but it all can be done online. So in order to participate in the Barrier Relief Fund, you will need to complete that form as well. So that survey. So just wanted to throw that in.
It looks like most of the awards have, there really isn't a cap on it, but most of them fall between $500 and $20,000. So it there's quite the range of funds that would be available. So,
yep, absolutely. So there's lots of opportunity for providers. So take advantage.
Cool. Sorry to put you on the spot on that one, but I thought about that and I was like, oh, that would maybe be a good thing to talk about quick. So,
hey, no, I'm glad you did.
Anything else you got?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I don't have anything else specific, so we can just head right into our questions.
Sounds good.
All right.
So the first question, this is from a nursing facility provider, and it's the question of, can you identify when Iowa Total Care receives the state rate file and when you load the state file? Providers, so the situation here is, nursing facility rates are released quarterly, right? And those have been a little delayed as of late because of COVID. And so what we're trying to figure out and what this situation is specifically asking is, when are those files received and when are they uploaded? Because there are situations where a provider may want to hold on submitting claims, even if it's like for a week or two, in order to avoid having to go through corrected claims in the future. So that's the impetus or the thought behind the question, I suppose, in this case.
Yes, and Brandon, this is Hillary from Iowa Total Care. So the most recent file, and it's the same with the pretty much since COVID started. The most recent file we received on February 1st, and so we started loading them as soon as we got that file. It can take up to 30 days to load. Typically, it's faster, but it can take that amount of time. So I know you guys typically bill and we receive your claims somewhere around the 10th. So in this case, if they came in on the 10th, there's a possibility that you would not have the updated rate just yet. So typically they bill it or not bill it. They send us the rate file on the, like at the beginning of the month following the beginning of the quarter, if that makes sense. And then we have to load it from there, which can take up to 30 days.
That makes sense. Typically, thanks, Hillary.
Typically there's more like a 2-week turnaround, but it can take 30 days. So I don't want to tell you 2 weeks and it's not loaded, but.
Right. And I do know that, you know, there's been some changes. Obviously people are probably working remotely for one, but this process should correct itself. Because I think what we're ideally trying to do is when these rates are released, we're trying to get them out prior to the effective date of the rate. These last couple have not been, partially because of the delays in submitting the required, let me start over, the requirement of submitting MDSs on a specific timeframe had been delayed due to COVID. So providers had a little bit more grace in submitting those. And so then that delayed the creation of the rate files. And so that's what put this one at 2-1 for a January 1st effective date. But as we move out, because I know DHS has released an informational letter to put timelines on when those need to be in, the MDSs, so that way they can calculate rates and get them out ahead of time. And so if I'm remembering correctly, I think that the April rate is supposed to be released on March 27th. So that would be before the effective date. And so then by the time you submit your claims for April in May, that would be at least 30 days from when those are received. So just, I guess, talking through that process as to why it is, how it is, that will start to correct itself as we move throughout these next few quarters, I think. Okay. This next question is, the COVID relief claims that we billed correctly in October are still underpaid by the $300 per day. It was said that a couple of months ago that they'd be adjusted and paid correctly by the end of the year, 12/31/20. But those have not been adjusted for this provider. Any updates on those COVID relief rates and if those were still planning to be adjusted?
Yes, they are. I know there was one project that completed to pay out some of those claims. We did an additional sweep and to pick up the rest, which is currently going through our automated process. So you should start seeing payments come out next week for some of those. And then it'll continue paying out over probably around 2 weeks. So you should start to see those come through.
So if they have submitted claims and they don't get $300 per day add-on by the end of the month, they should reach out to their representative?
Yes.
Okay. Another question on that COVID relief rate surrounding timely filing requirements. And if you'll remember, you know, obviously COVID goes back to March of 20, and the informational letter on the COVID relief rate wasn't released until, I want to say, June 30th or July 1st. It was right around that time. And so that didn't even provide a whole bunch of guidance. We were still having questions and bouncing questions off the MCOs, I know, for several months after that until providers actually started to see claims go through. So I guess the question is, what are the timely filing requirements on submitting these COVID relief rate claims, because I do know some providers have been receiving timely filing denials on those.
Right. We did notice that there was some timely filing denials, and we were waiving the timely filing on those. We currently have projects in for the timely filing and have updated that in our system. But we are waiving the timely filing because we recognize it took quite a while to get information out, and as well as receiving information and clarifying the process. So we are waiving timely filing on the COVID relief rate claims. Sorry, it's hard to say that. And if any of that have denied for timely filing, we will be reprocessing.
Awesome. Do you know how long Iowa Total Care plans to waive the timely filing on COVID relief rate, or is it just going to be for the entirety of the public health emergency, I guess?
Internally, we haven't discussed that, but there is not an end date at this time. So it'll continue. If we end up putting an end date on it, we will definitely let you guys know. But there is not one at this time.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. This question is, once we've submitted an issue to our provider advocate and they send it on to the claims team for the creation of a project, how long should it take for a provider to get a resolution or a response?
I think that question's probably for both myself and PR. On the claim side, once we receive a request for information from the provider relations team, it can take up to 30 days. We are working on ways to speed that process up to be able to get you guys answers much faster so that we can get the claims reprocessed faster. But it can take up to 30 days right now. I think we're under 30 days at this moment, but it can take up to that, and we are working on ways to speed up that process so we can get information back to you guys as soon as possible. And I'll let Tony and Jeannie speak for the PR side.
Sure. Thanks, Hillary. So when we receive information from providers such as yourself, they do the initial research and then also include our on-site team if additional research is needed. And after that research, initial research has been completed, we input that into what is called a SharePoint item. And that information then is generated for the claims team to look at, research, update, do adjustments, whatever the, you know, whatever is needed for that. And that's where Hillary's team and the folks in the claims area then take that and then process it, research it accordingly. So then that 30 days determines, you know, when the claim, you know, if it needs to go in a project, it could, you know, possibly, you know, have to go to our corporate claims team and such. Just depends on the size of the project as well. Once that is completed and returned to through the SharePoint to the provider relations specialist, the provider relations specialist will then reach out and share that information with the provider.
All right. Thank you both.
Sure.
Another question that I ended up receiving through email was, it was on the L6 denials, the denials asking for other insurance, and just an update as to where we stand with those. I actually have two emails from two different providers that continue to have a lot of struggles with that. One provider had a bunch of their January claims denied, 65 claims since July, which is tens of thousands for them specifically. So I guess just an update on where we're at with the fixing of that, those L6 denials for these individuals who have, so it, I think it comes down to that XB not homebound in box 80 kind of discussion and, I guess what we're doing to make sure that those pay timely.
Yep. So we did add the home health revenue codes to our exceptions list to bypass that TPL requirement. However, the G codes that are often added on with the revenue code were not added. And we identified that error and are working on updating it now. It'll probably be about 2 weeks. So by end of month, that fix will be in as well. And then we can go back and reprocess all of those claims that have the L6 denials. We do have a project in right now reprocessing the ones, well, it would have been before this month. So if you just received denials, we'll still have to reprocess those. But there is a project in that we submitted as soon as we got the initial fix in for the revenue codes. And that is, let me see where the status is. Sorry, I just had it up. And I also saw something in the chat about receiving a recovery letter for those claims as well. And I have the project number, so I am going to look into that. And if we find that it's a big issue, we'll pull out the claims that should not have been sent out in a recoup letter. But one moment. Sorry, go ahead.
So I guess I was just going to say with that recover or with that project number, I do have another, at least one more provider, which is different than this person who's also gotten that project letter who thinks it went out in error. So
okay.
Same number and everything. Okay. So just, I guess, as a FYI.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up that project after this call and go through it and make sure that we pull those back. But the pay project for the L6 denials is currently with our corporate team. And is about ready to go into the automated process to begin paying out. So with probably not next week, but the week after, you'll start seeing payments on some of those L6 denials. And like I said, if any of them were missed because of not having those G codes and the exceptions, we will pick those up as soon as that configuration is done. And then it takes 30 days. So I would say by end of March, you'll receive those payments for all of those claims that are missed in this project that's processing right now.
Well, that would be great if the inclusion of those codes helped to bypass the other insurance denials, because I know that has been a major sticking point for,
I know,
and not even just an Iowa Total Care thing. This is just since April of 2016, it's been a thorn in the side of home health providers.
Right.
Who've been submitting clean claims and receiving denials. So if this goes through and is able to be fixed by the end of March, would be a major, major win for Iowa Total Care and for providers.
Yeah, we thought the revenue codes would take care of it, and it didn't entirely. It did take care of it on the claims where just the revenue code was billed, but when that G code was there, it didn't bypass it. So we're just going to add those in, and it should definitely be fixed. And of course, we'll do testing and let you know if there's any updates on that as well. But I anticipate that it will fix the problem. So that'll be good.
Awesome. I do see that you answered another question in there about the timely filing denials, and they will be reprocessed internally. So that's great.
Correct.
One other question that I see that's in the chat is a denial code. And maybe you know what this is, Hillary, maybe you don't, but KJ, no payment per state methodology. And the provider doesn't necessarily know what this means and how they are able to correct that denial.
Yeah, I was trying to look that up because I did see it in the chat. And I think I need to have some claim examples in order to figure out what happened on these. And I can pull them up in our system too if you don't want to put it in the chat. But I think I need to look at some claim examples and see what is happening with this, because I am not sure where that's coming from exactly.
Okay. Janet, just send those over to me, and we can get them to Hillary and the claims team over there.
Thank you.
I do have another question that came in my email yesterday, and it's about billing for these COVID-positive residents in isolation. So I think it's for the relief rate stuff. And when this provider submitted their original bill, they mistakenly did it for the entire month. So when they're trying to do their bill for the COVID relief rate, it's denying because it's saying it's a duplicate claim for some days that have already been paid. How would what's the best route for them to fix this correctly? Do they need to cancel the first claim, or can they just do a correction, a 217, and correct the original bill?
You could do either way. So you could either do a 218 and have the claim voided and resubmit, or you can do a 217 and submit a corrected claim. But remember, you have to have two separate claims, one for COVID relief and one for the regular room and board rates. So if you do the 217, you will have to make sure that you still submit that additional claim. If you do 218, then you still have to do two claims, but you can set them up separately from the beginning, so you don't have any issues.
That makes sense. So in this case, the COVID relief rate would fall within the month. So like say the 8th through the 22nd, they would need to submit a corrected claim, a 217 or a 218, but I guess in this case, a 217 for an 8, you'd make it probably days 1 through 7, and then you do a new claim for days 8 through 22 with your COVID diagnoses and your increased rate amount. And I want to say that there's another piece of DR code needs to be on there. And then once that is done, you do another new claim for the 23rd through the end of the month, which would have your regular room and board again. So in this case, it'd probably be 3 claims. Does that sound right?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Cool. Okay. And then there is a confirmation on the L6 denials in the chat that you probably haven't been able to see yet, but just to confirm, so for the L6 denials, we should receive payment for the past 6 months of denials, July through December, around the end of the month, and then we'll receive payment for January denials by the end of March. Is that the correct time frame of what you were thinking?
Yeah, that's correct.
Cool. That is what I have in my inbox and in my chat. So does anyone else have any questions for Iowa Total Care? You could either, at this time, since we don't have any more, ask them through the chat, or I suppose if you really wanted to talk, you could probably unmute yourself. Chat would probably be preferred method. We'll just give it another minute or so. Otherwise, everyone, I suppose, can have a 30 minutes back before we jump on our call with Marigroup. Jeannie, you have any plans for Valentine's Day?
Well, as a matter of fact, it is my son's 27th birthday. My baby can't have favorites. He is, and I do. So he was just my blessing child. He's just always been real easy. So yeah, so we're going to have dinner with my son and daughter-in-law, and they have just purchased a new home and are going to be moving closer to her parents and us, which we only live a mile apart. So looking forward to having them closer. So going to kind of celebrate the new home purchase and his birthday all at the same time. Few chocolates too, I think.
There you go.
Yep, there we go. Well, we'll be at our house. So they're kind of in our social circle, our small social circle.
Right. Hey, you got to keep some sanity. So
we do. I do. I don't know if I could handle it if I couldn't see him and my daughter-in-law. So good stuff. So.
Well, great. Hillary, how about you before we jump off?
I do not yet, but we'll see what happens. I don't know.
All right. Well, I appreciate our representatives from Iowa Total Care joining us today and answering our questions. We're hopeful on this L6 project for sure from our home health provider's perspective, because like I said, that'll be a game changer if that goes in and it functions properly. So we're anxious to see what comes of that. So again, thank you. We'll be back on at 11:30 with Amerigroup, and everyone have a good rest of the week. Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.